This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Neo, the latest game-changing fungicide from Syngenta.
The uncertainty of what happens next in this COVID-19 situation has the market and people across North America very uneasy. Farmers have to forge ahead and plant this 2020 crop no matter what.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Adam Kramer, the Certified Crop Advisor of the Year from Black Sand Granary. Then it's Don Buckingham, President and CEO of Canadian Agri-Foods Policy Institute. And right after the news, Annalisa Laca from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm sequestered newsman Davis Michelson, and now filling in for Chip from Real Ag Radio, Sean Haney.
Oh, man. Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. Hey, Davis, great stuff. Self-sequestered?
Are you a piece of carbon?
What's going on over there?
Well, ultimately, aren't we all just pieces of carbon, Sean?
Well, that is true. That is. When you get down to it.
Oh, no, man. I have, beloved listeners, fallen mildly to moderately ill. So I'm at home in my safety bunker, and I'll be here for a little while, I guess.
Yeah, taking necessary precautions, right? Like that's kind of
absolutely.
And everybody's trying to get a handle on this. What am I supposed to do? Right? Can I go to a restaurant? Can I go to a bar? We heard the president talk about a little bit about that yesterday. We saw California make some big time measures yesterday in terms of shutting a lot of those kinds of the fitness facilities. Now I have like an excuse. I can't go to the gym, Davis. Right?
See, I'm sitting in my home gym. It's an office. It's a beat laboratory, and it's also a workout dojo. So I really don't have any excuses. I should be in great shape by the time this.
and there's been so much talk about. We talked about like something like MFP 3.0, right? So much. Mm-hmm. Will it actually happen? And all right. of a sudden, boy, is that area kind of crowded for industries looking for some sort of a bailout. Yesterday, right. I was blown away. The airline industry saying $50 billion they're looking for.
Yes.
Airlines across North America could be all bankrupt by the end of May. That mm-hmm. like gets your attention, man.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. It's a big deal.
Absolutely. Hey, Davis, let's get to the rest of the news.
Sure thing, Sean. Well, 4,661 coronavirus cases have now been reported in the United States with 85 fatalities. China reported 21 new cases on Tuesday, with 20 of those imported from abroad. President Donald Trump today will either meet in person in the Oval Office or hold teleconferences with restaurant executives, tourism executives, and supply retailers and wholesalers on the COVID-19 situation. The U.S. Senate is on track to quickly pass a House package of measures in response to the outbreak, with lawmakers eager to follow up with a more ambitious bill once the current one has the president's signature. Efforts to put together a third aid plan are underway, with House Democrats expected to unveil a $750 billion effort today, while the administration and Republicans are working on what is said to be an $800 billion to $850 billion package. The goal is passing a bill through the Senate this week after President Donald Trump warned of a potential recession. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said the bill, which is likely to cost hundreds of billions of dollars, should include provisions to help individual Americans and families stabilize the economy and small businesses and aid the healthcare system and medical professionals. Sean, this is a big one that kind of hits home with me because my wife is a small business owner and she's not sure if she should be going to work, if she should be canceling appointments, if she could expect aid, or even how to get it. I guess it's early for the P's and Q's to all be in line here, but something a lot of Americans, I think, are thinking about.
Yeah, and Davis, honestly, like, any small business owner in any industry, it's not like you have these humongous cash positions. You're not like Google or Apple, right? And so if, depending on what industry you're in, you may see a real lack of revenue going forward, not just weeks, but possibly even months. And mm-hmm. even if you have revenue loss insurance, does this sort of situation even qualify for you to get a payout there? Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of concern across the countryside.
That's right. Well, the White House issued new coronavirus guidelines. All Americans were urged to stay at home, skip bars and restaurants, and avoid gatherings of more than 10 people. Americans also should stop unnecessary travel, President Trump said on Monday, as he warned that the coronavirus outbreak could extend well into the summer. EU member states voted on a 30-day ban on non-essential travel into the Shenzhen area as France's lockdown begins and the UK announces further economic support. Meanwhile, Canada shut its borders to everyone but U.S. citizens. Kind of raised some ire there or concerns, or how would you characterize it, Sean?
Well, I think Canada is really trying, the government's trying to be somewhat proactive and saying, you know what, we want all Canadians to come home and let's try to keep people from other countries out so we can get a handle on this situation. But of course, right, with a shared border with the U.S., such a large border at this point, mm-hmm, that is still open for U.S. citizens.
And we want to be friends. We want to be friends and, well, exactly, speak with each other freely, just as you and I are here right now, Sean. It's a beautiful
absolutely
thing. The first testing in humans of an experimental vaccine has begun, but even if it is proved safe and effective, it will not be available for at least a year. Senate Republican leaders are discussing options to help the U.S. airline industry, including loan guarantees and direct financial aid. Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Chairman Roger Wicker from Mississippi said, but he said it's difficult to quantify the damage the carriers are currently sustaining. And with travel, you know, people asked to avoid non-essential travel. That's vacations is the way that translates. And also businesses, our own business has recommended, you know, hey, look, if you don't have to go there, don't go. There's a lot of flights that just aren't going to be booked, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. Extreme drop in passenger travel. And I think a lot of Americans are going to be dealing with the reality of dealing with boredom. There's no sports on TV. You really, right, can't go anywhere. This after a week of this, it's going to be a real challenge for a lot of people. Hey, Davis, thanks a lot for the news. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Man.
You bet.
Okay, let's go over to Annalisa Laca. She is policy analyst for AgWeb.com and editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Annalisa, how's it going?
I'm currently sitting in my closet hiding from a two-year-old that's running wild with washable paint in the living room.
You're supposed to self-isolate from the virus, not from your kids, Annalisa.
Hey, listen, if I had an outlet in here, there'd be no telling how long I'd stay.
Hey, what's going on with these dairy markets? You know, we had a bit of a run there earlier in the year, and now we've dropped back. What's going on?
Well, you know, Sean, unfortunately, it's not looking great. So the metrics that are really influencing the market here are restaurant sales are down significantly, and we expect them to continue to be down. Also, you know, large swaths of schools are out, and school milk consumption accounts for 7% of our domestic milk consumption.
Wow.
So some of that will get consumed as school districts are looking to continue to provide meals for students that need it. But all in all, when we look at the picture and the analysts that we're talking to, we're looking at maybe a 15 to 20% decline in milk prices, at least in the short term.
Ouch. So I never thought about that school milk program. I did see that China put out recommendations saying, you know, one of the ways to build up your immune system is to drink milk. I wonder if we'll see something like that here, mm-hmm, domestically in the U.S.
Well, you know, analysts do expect there to be a short-term, maybe even record high sales of fluid milk and the basic milk and dairy products in the grocery store, but we do not expect that to offset the losses at restaurants. I mean, if you look at the early data from Seattle, it's staggering, the lack of restaurant consumption and even fast food. So, yeah, I think farmers can expect, at least in the short term, something that feels a little bit like 2008. The good news is most analysts expect, yeah, this to be a sharp V and recover at the end of the year.
Yeah, scary stuff. Annalisa, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Sean.
When we come back on AgriTalk, we're going to hear from Don Buckingham. He's the president and CEO of CAPI. We'll be right back on AgriTalk right after this.
Given the challenging conditions the Midwest and Upper Midwest experienced in 2019, it's no wonder soybean growers are looking for potential updates to their crop protection plans. I'm talking again with Wade Eichens. Wade is a sales agronomist and location manager for Ag Plus Co-op. Wade, yesterday you told us about the less than ideal conditions that your growers experienced last year. What are you recommending growers apply to their fields to fight against this season's diseases?
I currently am recommending Mirvis Neo on our acres around the area, especially on beans, due to the high probability of disease presence being out in the field, and our strong potential for white mold. We've used anything from Paraxer to just straight generic fungicides to Headline. A bulk of our acres shifted to Miravis Neo just for the fact that it had a better white mold score. Some of the differences we saw versus Miravis Neo versus untreated and Triaxer, we saw much more consistent control. We also had very good protection against white mold as we've put it on early, and we had conditions for disease development all through the month of August and into the early part of September. And considering the conditions we've had, it held on quite well. Considering the disease we have out there, I'm very happy with the control, because it would have been a lot worse if we haven't put a fungicide out there. And we're looking at forward to making sure that every bean acre that we can get a fungicide on, we're going to promote Miravis Neo.
Thanks, Wade. That was Wade Eichens, sales agronomist and location manager for Ag Plus Co-op. He'll be joining us again tomorrow to give us more insights on Miravis Neo performance. To learn more about Miravis Neo, contact your local retailer or Syngenta sales representative, or visit syngentaus.com/miravis-neo. Always read and follow label instructions. Brent Lowry is from Searsboro, Iowa.
Soybean harvest is coming along slow, but we're getting towards the end finally. Yields have been exceptional. This might be one of our top two or three soybean crops we've ever harvested. We're currently about 85-90% through harvest, and we've got a 72 bushel average, so bean yields have been exceptional this year. We were very late planting, didn't expect to have the yields that we do, and yields have been exceptional. Soil conditions were less than ideal when we planted. Tough growing season, really, with a cooler growing season, a wetter growing season, you know, should have been ideal for sudden death symptoms to show up, and we just don't see them anymore. You know, there's such a high percentage of acres around this area that get treated with Olivo that we just don't see sudden death like we used to. We're gonna keep using Olivo on our farm. There's no doubt in my mind it's the best product on the market for cyst control, for sudden death control. The return is there year after year, and just very consistent.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Olivo is a registered trademark of BASF, all rights reserved. At Rant, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EndsUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store, and can increase yield up to 15%. So don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EndsUp enzymes by Brant. Find EndsUp at brant.co.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under, with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year, so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bear Plus Rewards. Sign in and start earning at mybearplus.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your guest host today, Sean Haney of Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio. Chip is out this week. Big thanks to Chip for putting me in the seat today. Always enjoy guest hosting this show. And I'm, of course, on the show on Fridays for the free-for-all, but it's always nice to sit in the host chair once in a while as well. If you want to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. And if you're on Twitter, just include the hashtag AgriTalk, so we'll be sure to see your tweet. There you go. Okay, we're now going to talk to Don Buckingham. He is president and CEO of Canadian Agri-Food Policy Institute, better known as CAPI. Don, how's it going?
Great. How are you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing fantastic. Don, you know, when I was trying to figure out the show list today, Black Swan event. I remember back to November, you had a discussion with Real Ag's Ontario field editor, Bernd Tobin, and all about Black Swan events and what could be the next one and what's going on. And boy, I'll tell you what, Don, I don't think even you would have predicted this sort of Black Swan event that we're going through right now.
That's the whole nature of Black Swans. You can't predict them. You can think about what their general category might be. Are they going to be political? Are they going to be financial? Are they going to be physiological? Are they going to be pathogenic? We've had all kinds of examples of black swan events over the last, as far back as domestic agriculture, which is 10,000 years old. We've had these things and we never can predict them.
Now, Don, like when I hear black swan, I think negative. You know, we heard ASF was kind of classified as that in 2019. Of course, the COVID-19 situation that we're dealing with right now across the world. But black swan, like this concept of black swan, unexpected event, they can be positive too.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think probably where to start the conversation is really about disruption. And there's all kinds of disruption that happens on a constant basis in any industry, and agriculture is no exception. And, you know, there's really four kinds of degrees and grades of them. And so the first grade is sort of just incremental change. You know, we see yields going up. We see farm land expansion. We see population expansion. That's all incremental. But it changes the way we do agriculture. And kind of the next level is there's some of these historic cycles. You know, you don't have to be much of a scientist to figure out there's going to be a price cycle in soybeans or in, cattle prices. And then we really get to the ones that I would call black swans. And the black swans are, they're large-scale, unpredictable, random events that significantly transform society and industries. And, you know, if they're positive, we tend to call them game changers. They're innovations that make the practice of agriculture different. Like we got something like new kinds of synthetic fertilizers. That was a total black swan game changer where, you know, we could have a synthetic product put on the crop and we would have all these kinds of yield gains. No one saw that one coming. But we also have negative ones, and they tend to be more of the black swan, what we call the black swans. They tend to be negative, but I mean, not necessarily, except that they're truly disrupting the way we do things, and they're largely unpredictable in actually seeing them coming on the horizon.
Yeah, and I guess in this situation right now, you know, we've got producers across the U.S., back home across Canada, looking at a very volatile futures market and, you know, questions about what does all this do for demand and exports to parts of Asia. Like most black swan events that are negative in nature, they become a real test for the industry to sort of come out the other side and live to fight another day.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think what one of the things that in many respects is a swan event, one of the things that agriculture has to hang on to is of everything that we do, there are almost 10 billion people on the planet who need to eat three meals a day. They need to get a couple thousand calories in their body. And so the demand and the idea that we're going to have some kind of a severe drop in demand, it's different for Rolex watches than it is for producing basic foodstuffs. We still have to produce those calories. So in some respects, there's going to be an opportunity for resilience in agriculture to say, well, yeah, we may have to do things differently. We may have to produce commodities differently. We may have to shape the way we get them to market differently. But the idea that the demand is suddenly going to disappear for calories and agricultural products is the one thing that we have to hang our hat on in the ag industry. That's cold comfort, though, to somebody who's trying to get their crop decisions made for this spring. And I think probably what we have to start looking at is what is the agricultural sector doing with respect to resilience? And I think there's probably some things that we're doing really, really, really well. And some of those things are we're building in some extra capacity. How do we do this idea that we are nimble, that we can change if, in fact, there's a demand, a drop in demand for certain kinds of products and an increase in demand for others? So that's one of the things that we're looking at. We're going to have to rely on some government proposals, and I think we're seeing that coming out of some of the dialogues, coming out of Washington, coming out of Ottawa, and some of those are going to be with respect to pooling the risk. And you know, you can't expect one sector of society to bear the burden of all that risk.
Yeah, like you know, I was just talking to Davis during the news, and we were chatting about airlines, and you know, there's been a lot of talk about the profitability challenges for agriculture over these last 3 years of trade disruption. And you know, of course, in the U.S., there has been some MFP payments over the last couple of years, compensating growers or help, you're trying to get growers to the other side of the trade disruption. I'll tell you what, you know, we got the airlines talking about being bankrupt by the end of May. I saw last night a possibility of the casinos in the U.S. asking for a bailout, which I have to sort of scratch my head out or head at that we have to bail out casinos. That seems like the last place we should have to bail them out. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of industries coming to the table here asking for some level of help.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, this is where the hard decisions of government kick in. And I've had a lot of discussions with colleagues from this country and actually from the U.S. about, you know, why agriculture? Why should agriculture have a strong position? Well, the answer is very much we have to eat. Farmers are really part of the solution, and the agriculture industry is part of the solution. Not saying that the other sectors aren't, but certainly you can see that if we're going back to base needs, agriculture has a primary place at the table. And so if we've got some significant restructuring that will go on in agriculture with respect to bankruptcies, we've got a problem, because we're going to disrupt the major production of those calories that I'm talking about that are basic to human life. So it seems to me that we're going to have to do a bit of triage on where the government aid is going to fall. And, you know, I think it'll also give us an opportunity to look at some other systems. And this is one of the consequences of black swans. There are always winners and losers, but out of the black swan event, you will find new innovative solutions. And we don't quite know what those are, but I mean, already I can start thinking of some innovations where we're going to be using precision agriculture is going to have to be more available, broadband access for large-scale farming. I don't know what it's like in the U.S., but certainly in parts of Canada, there's not enough broadband to support some of these new technologies. And these new technologies perhaps are going to be things that come out of black swan events like, you know, COVID-19, like a financial meltdown. You know, heaven forbid if we ever had an animal pathogen scare like, you know, BSE or African swine fever, we will have to innovate. There's no question we're going to have to change. But agriculture would go to the bottom of the barrel is beyond me.
Well, I think one of the positives here, potentially, and we talk so much in agriculture about connecting with the consumer. I'll tell you what, it's been a long time since the consumer is sort of under this realization of where food maybe comes from, as people go to the grocery store and see there's nothing in the milk aisle. There's, you know, yogurts emptied out. I talked yesterday on Real Ag Radio about how my father-in-law witnessed a shoving match at Costco.
Oh my.
Two men shoving each other over a can of beans. You know what I mean? So that might be a positive, maybe. You know, there's some sort of connection like, oh, this is, we need to help farmers, or we need to make sure that agriculture thrives as we see shelves of the grocery store empty.
And absolutely correct. You know, I grew up in the Midwest of Canada, and there everybody had a cousin or a relative who was still on the farm. But as you get into the bigger centers, Toronto, Vancouver, New York, Boston, Los Angeles, I'm astonished how far back you have to go before you find somebody who's been on the farm. And suddenly it's real. Those shelves are empty. People are trying to figure out where this is going to come from. But will that translate into a sensitivity for why the ag operation is important? I think to a degree. But also there will have to be some realization in government that this is also a driver of economic growth in both countries. And that's
hey,
really
Don,
where we could come down.
Hey, Don, this has been great. I really appreciate you joining us here today on AgriTalk.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That is Don Buckingham. He is CEO and president of Canadian Agri-Food Policy Institute, better known as CAPI. Okay, when we come back on AgriTalk, we're going to talk to Adam Kramer. He is the Certified Crop Advisor of the Year. We'll be right back on AgriTalk right after this break.
Protect diesel engines with premium Senex lubricants. Choose SuperLube TMS, a conventional heavy-duty diesel engine oil engineered to deliver protection for new, current, and older diesel engines. SuperLube TMS protects against soot, prevents sludge deposits, and slows oil thickening. The power needed to weather long hours and heavy, dusty road conditions. The power of Senex lubricants keeps engines running like a well-oiled machine.
Senex is a brand of CHS.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
All right, joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Bri-Fi, I'm looking at my screen here, and I'm afraid to refresh it. There's green on the screen. Take me to the livestock markets, would you, buddy? What's going on?
Yeah, big moves in the livestock markets today, Davis. Expanded limits in live cattle, feeder cattle, and lean hogs. For live cattle and hogs, it's 450. We are seeing some of those contracts test those upper bounds right now. And in the feeder cattle, it's 675 today, close to those upper bounds in the nearby contracts. So big moves. Stock market, it's trading higher in near session highs right now. So I think that's lending us some support. But just some relief, you know, buying in all these markets after the big downturn. We did see the box beef market absolutely explode higher yesterday. So if you're looking for a fundamental reason, that may be something there. There has been a disconnect between the fundamentals and the futures on the cattle side, but a little bit more so probably of a connect today.
Beans and wheat are kind of prairie dogging to the upside as well here.
Yeah, can't get the corn market to participate, unfortunately. It's trading under pressure, and that's probably limiting buyer interest in those other markets that you mentioned. But, you know, I guess it is at least a little bit of a positive news, even if it's a temporary reprieve here for both the soybean and wheat markets that we are trading to the upside. Corn, you know, it has its struggles still. The whole RBOB relationship to ethanol and everything that's going on there has kind of really put pressure on the corn market so far this morning.
All right. Thanks, Bri-Fi. Be well. That's Pro Farmer's Brian Grady. Pro Farmer members get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Weathering the Storm, a special report focusing on Mother Nature's potential impact on the 2020 growing season, is coming to Ag Day, U.S. Farm Report, and AgriTalk later this month. Brought to you by Pivot BioProven, the nitrogen-producing microbes that stay put, weather or not.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. But I should have said it at the opening. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Although I would doubt that there's a lot of green beer flowing in a lot of pubs across parts of the United States with everything going on. Hey, but you can always celebrate at home. What's that, Davis?
Quick question. I guess I don't even know. I've never even thought about this until right this second. You celebrate St. Patrick's Day in Canada too, right?
Absolutely.
Or is that just... Okay. See, we're building a bridge here, brother. It's a beautiful thing.
Nothing builds a bridge better than a pint of beer. That's I'll go with that.
My heart is very full.
Absolutely. Hey, if you want to participate in the conversation, give us a call, 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. Or on Twitter, hashtag is AgriTalk. Got a tweet here from it's NE Iowa Farmer saying, I haul milk off farm and deliver to processing plants. Wait times to unload at plant already getting longer. Nowhere to go with cheese and fluid milk. And I think this is a big part of the concern for the crop's going to get planted. People are going to be able to milk. People are going to be able to, you know, raise their cattle on their beef farm. The reality is it's the supply chain around the farm that is really, I think, a big concern in terms of any possible disruption. Okay, our next guest here on AgriTalk is Adam Kramer. He is with Black Sand Granary, and he's a certified crop advisor, and he's actually CCA of the year. Adam, how's it going?
Good, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to chat with you. So, Adam, tell us about Black Sand Granary and your business. Give us an idea on the operation.
Okay. Well, we have a couple businesses. The solely owned business is Black Sand Granary, and then we have another project called Growers United that has six member owners. And a lot of my vision and passion is within both entities, so they're similar but different. It's taken us a while to get things pared down to where they are today. So in essence, Black Sand Granary is a seed storage facility to help move piles of clean product or finished product through the marketplace. We're really trying to find demand signals with end users, chase down the decision makers, and then build the supply chain. So ultimately, we want to develop markets so producers have more diversity in their systems while maintaining a more profitable outcome. And until we formed the partnership at Growers United, that company, Black Sand Granary, did many other things. But now with this, Growers United really focuses on data collection, technology implementation, planter setup, metering system calibration, and just tools needed to grow alternative crops and diversified cropping rotations. So all that being said, the focus of our effort is to enhance our environment, and we're just doing that by implementing production systems that, you know, hopefully eliminate tillage when possible and get the right equipment and tools to producers so they can transition into continuous cover cropping systems. And you know, we're working directly with the folks that touch the land the most. You know, we're working with farmers.
Yeah, and I was just talking about how, you know, it's this in today's environment in 2020 with all the COVID-19 stuff happening, it's, you know, farmers need to plant a crop. And the challenge is, you know, some of the service providers around the farm. From your business standpoint, how is this impacting you right now?
Well, I mean, it's going to affect it more, I think, as we go forward, but the elephant in the room right now is you know, it's got everybody else around us on lockdown. So I've got four kids under the age of 13 at home, and I know for families all over the country, this is going to change things. So as long as we stay healthy, I mean, it looks like we're going to have some extra labor around this spring for everybody. But, you know, I try to stay positive about all that, but it's not really a joke to me. It's just you have to stay light or it can drive you crazy. So one of the biggest things we've had to do outside the home is order extra inventory of parts and supplies that folks will need, you know, as we get into planting season. You know, I hope our transportation systems stay operating as we've been accustomed to, but in strange times like these, we're going to have to be careful and plan ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm of the mentality as well that, you know, if I've got some room on the farm and some decent storage, you know, even if I was hearing there's going to be no disruptions on things like seed and herbicides, I would be getting those on farm if I could, right? And not everybody can, but if I could, I think I'd be jumping on that and being a little bit proactive on a year like this. Now, you're helping and assisting farmers on, you know, trying to figure out what tools are the right fit for them. And I think right now, you know, as I go to things like the National Farm Machinery Show or Commodity Classic, there are so many options of tools available, but it's trying to figure out what is the right tool that is so critical. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing we recommend above all the other management practices or tools on the farm is just current and accurate soil testing. You know, I'm a really fundamental guy, and I feel like if we practice the discipline fundamentals, we can fit tools into the operation that are going to enhance it. It's not really a matter of buying a piece of machinery that, you know, is going to change your life. I mean, that can happen, but we need to do all the production system stuff first. I would equate it to, you know, if you go to the doctor and you don't know what's wrong and he says, take some penicillin because it can't hurt you at this dose, you know, it's been around for a long time. You'd think, what the heck, man? So when producers make a decision on inputs, especially fertilizer, and given most fields have some variability in nutrient levels, you know, without a current soil test, it's almost a guarantee that that investment's not going to give you a great return. So that's something that needs to happen every year, regardless of market issues or weather events, really.
Yeah. Now, you have I heard that you have a demonstration farm where you're kind of doing some testing and kind of getting some of your customers in there to see some of the different options that are available to them.
Sure. Yeah, we practice what we preach. So we have 67 acres. You know, I'm kind of a wannabe farmer. I grew up on a farm, and I there's no space there for me. So we ended up in this service role. But I do farm a little bit, and we try to implement a lot of the recommendations and practices that we want to see folks try to implement in everything we do out there. Because I'm a small farmer and I don't have a ton of cash, I try to get as lean as possible. You know, I don't take extra passes through the field. We try to variable rate everything that we can and collect as much data as we can and showcase that as a decision-making tool and how that can affect the outcome. And the biggest thing for me is that that farm, it was pretty run down when we got a hold of it, and we had to build it up to get it to where it could sustain, you know, profitable yields. And that's kind of true for a lot of the variable topography that we work with in the driftless area. It's not super efficient to farm where we work, and there's some challenging environmental, you know, stuff that goes on with wildlife pressure and shade and just sheer slope and soil types. So that's the biggest thing for us, is just trying to get farmers to think about, you know, how to get lean, how to listen and observe their environment a little more closely. So we're working, you know, closely with that environment, you know, to have like a synergistic, more or less, effect of our production system.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about data, and everyone's been to some sort of a farm meeting, and it's data, 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 but it's about turning that data into information so you can actually make good business decisions. If you got a dollar for every piece of data you collected, we'd all be doing a lot better. But it's about making those right decisions. That is just so. It's a transition that's really, really difficult for a lot of farmers out there, I think, big and small. Hey, tell us about this CCA of the Year award. What was getting that award like?
Well, it's pretty crazy for me. I'm not really politically aligned, and I'm probably not as good an advocate for our industry as I should be. I've served on some boards, and I've been involved with some projects outside my area, but for the most part, I stay pretty close to home and do my job and work hard for our community. And to get recognized for something like that, you know, I think everyone in our industry is kind of wired that way. We don't do the work, we don't put in the hours and the sacrifice, you know, for the accolades, but when somebody recognizes you, it's kind of a shock, really, that someone's paying attention. And it's a great honor for me. It meant more for me once I got it than before I ever considered receiving something like that. So I never really thought about it, you know, until I got the email saying that that's what had happened.
That's really cool. I think that's such a great point. You know, you're focused on your customers, right? And you're focused on your business. And you got your head down, and you're just trying to do what's right. And but it is super cool and rewarding to see that people are noticing some of that good work that you're doing out there. So congratulations.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's a tough time right now, and I think you got the right attitude in terms of, you know, it's okay to laugh, and it's okay to stay positive, right? Because I don't know about you, but you turn on the news at night and it's sort of like, oh man. So I think it's whether it's farmers or service providers, we all gotta kind of stick together and we got to get this crop planted and obviously work our way to harvest. So, hey, Adam, I really appreciate you joining us here today on AgriTalk.
Hey, I appreciate being with you. This is great. Thanks.
Yeah, that is Adam Kramer. He is CCA of the Year, Black Sand Granary. So congratulations to him. There's a great article in Ag Pro Magazine and Ag Pro Online featuring his story called Heart in Soil Health. Okay, when we come back on AgriTalk, we are going to, well, Davis and I are actually going to wrap up this hour and talk a little bit about the day ahead. We'll be right back on AgriTalk right after these words.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
The sounds of success vary from person to person.
Over to second in time on the first double play.
Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. When you pick Credenz, you get a precise variety that fits your field. A variety built to work in your soil type and conditions with targeted traits for local pest and disease pressures. Earning the satisfaction of a successful soybean crop? That's smart. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
Protect your investment and experience peace of mind with the PowerGuard Protection Plan from John Deere. Offering similar bumper-to-bumper coverage as your original factory warranty, PowerGuard has plans for both residential and commercial machines, from riding lawn equipment and utility tractors to combines and sprayers. With up to 7 years of total coverage available, PowerGuard extended warranties provide flexible monthly and hourly terms along with no or minimal deductibles. Ask your local John Deere dealer today about PowerGuard Protection Plans.
Weeds want to restrict your freedom and crush the spirit of your crops. Never fear. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of superior weed control is here with Liberty Herbicide. Stand proud with greater application flexibility, unmatched convenience, and excellent performance combined with the Liberty Link, Liberty Link GT27, and Enlist trait systems. And it has no known resistance in U.S. row crops. Talk with your BASF rep or authorized retailer about Liberty Herbicide. Always read and follow label directions.
Where does harvest begin? At Great Plains, we believe harvest starts when your combine leaves the field. At this exact moment, your fields take on the potential to become something greater. Using sound agronomic principles, we are proud to offer you innovative, high-quality equipment to create opportunities for growth, higher yields, and success, year after year. Since 1976, our products have been built right here at home in the USA, where we've stood by farmers harvest after harvest. Create a lasting legacy on your farm. Visit GreatPlainsAg.com. Great Plains, harvest starts here.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Man, when the market is this green on the screen, we need something more on tempo, Davis.
I would think so. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't want to scare it away.
Yeah, we want to keep low profile. Don't tell anybody. You know, it's interesting.
Like you don't notice.
I saw this quote this morning from Jim Paulson. He's with the Luthold Group, I believe is how you pronounce that. He says, although the contemporary crisis is loaded with bad news, this has not been its primary problem. It's the unknown. Give me bad news any day over complete uncertainty. And I think that kind of describes how the market has tried to just decipher what's going on here.
Absolutely. It's one thing that we've kind of felt about the Dow, especially, is if this is a sentiment indicator and it doesn't like uncertainty, this is the perfect storm for, stock market panic.
And I think one of the things here is I look at the markets today, and we heard Brian Grady earlier on the show, is, the grains and oilseeds are one thing. And, we're all cheering for recovery there. But, man, it is the livestock markets that have just been, I'll use the word annihilated here, feels over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's really, really good to see an upside day today in those meat markets.
Well, and, as Don Buckingham was pointing out earlier in the show, we've still got to feed people. There are, we still got to keep producing calories and making those available to the general public. And even in a time of horrific shutdowns and lock-ins, whatever, worst case scenario you want to paint, people still got to eat. And that falls to farmers.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope I'm right. In that conversation with Don Buckingham, I hope I'm right that this is the first time in my lifetime where I really feel like this is an opportunity to really make that kind of connection for people that have been so disassociated with primary production, where they actually do walk in the grocery store and they see that there's no milk. What? How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? And sort of working that thought process back to the farm to realize that there's a dairy producer behind that jug of milk that's no longer on the shelf that is really struggling here right now in these markets. Even though the demand is going up, it appears, still not exactly doing well from a profit perspective on the farm.
Well, and the retail flush of product to me is absolutely astounding. We're going to have to refill these grocery store shelves, be it canned green beans, be it, a chuck roast or pork or poultry or whatever it is. And I don't know, maybe toilet paper farming is the next wave of innovation that we need to look into here. There may be a market there.
There's things to stock up on. The one threat that's not out there is we're going to run into toilet paper. There's been lots of discussion about that in Canada as well. We've had the same kind of run at the stores, people Have fighting you? Over toilet paper. Oh, yeah, for sure. And even though in the news they're saying, like, you know, listen, we harvest the lumber here. The factory is here. There is no possibility of any sort of a shortage of toilet paper, yet people just, you know, it's sort of like that crowd mentality. I'll tell you what, I think one thing that's really frustrating livestock producers right now, mainly in the beef markets, is they're seeing the demand, you know, meat counters empty. They're seeing box beef prices going up, and they've watched live cattle futures and cash prices drop. And it's another one of those situations. Sort of reminds me a little bit of the Kansas fire, where there's a lot of frustrations inside certain weeks. Like, these things aren't matching up. It's frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, going back to the toilet paper discussion, and I don't want to belabor it, but it does occur to me, I wonder what Sigmund Freud would have to say about our general societal mindset, that in a situation like this, the mass hysteria goes directly for toilet paper. There's something Freudian about that, Sean, and I can't quite get my head around it. I'm going to write it up someday when I get it all figured out.
Oh, so philosophical of you, Davis.
Right?
I am impressed. It is bizarre. You turn on any talk radio show, and that's what they're talking about is toilet paper and the why. Like, what are people thinking? And it's sort of like that human instinct of some sort. But
yeah, it is great to see the livestock markets take off, though. I've got March cattle up 545 at 113.95 right now. April cattle up the limit 450, 96.35, and the hogs are taking off too. Limit up in the April contract at 58.47, but man, still a long way to go before we rebuild this price strength that we were, you know, just only beginning to enjoy before all this happened and the bottom fell out.
Well, hey, like Chip was saying to me last week, we were kind of talking back and forth and chatting about how look at there's a turn of cattle here that were you know, in place before the Kansas fire, and they've seen that, and now they've, you know, in the middle of COVID, they have had quite the volatile life. This has been a crazy turn for the cattle markets, and you know, if you are forward contracted, you're you know, you're in better shape, but let me tell you, if you know, a lot of people aren't, and they're relying on that cash market or some sort of a grading system, and boy, I'll tell you, it's some trying times for sure for livestock producers.
Absolutely.
We heard from Annalisa Locke earlier that even, you know, dairy producers the same, milk prices looking not very lofty.
Well, and I want to go back to one thing that Don Buckingham pointed out as we're kind of wrapping up the show here. It was a few months ago, and I don't want to say who it was. It might have been Matt Bennett on our show, but I don't know if that's right or not, who just pointed out, look, innovation doesn't come from good times. Innovation comes from hard times. And I feel like Don did a really good job of pointing that out, that, look, if things need to be updated, changed, if production methods or even just marketing methods need to be updated here, this is one heck of a wake-up call, one heck of a black swan, and we still have no idea where we end up or how long we're going to be in these sorts of conditions.
Well, keep on tuning in to AgriTalk on a daily basis, everybody. And hey, you know what? If you got some spare time, tune in to Real Ag Radio as well. I would really appreciate that.
Sure.
Hey, Davis, this has been a lot of fun, man.
Dude, I really appreciate you taking the time to fill in for Chip this morning. You've done a great job. We love having you. Let's do this again sometime real soon. What say?
Yeah, Chip can take as many holidays as he wants going forward. I'll fill in if he needs. So tomorrow morning on the show, Clinton Griffith will be your host of Ag Day. As well, this afternoon, it's going to be Joe Vaklovic from Standard Grain. He's going to sit in for Chip. A guest is going to be Ken Morrison of Morrison on the Markets this afternoon on the show. So a great lineup ahead here in the next 24 hours for sure. Hey, I'm Sean Haney, your guest host of AgriTalk, and thanks a lot, everybody.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
A little cold weather never hurt anybody, but with typical number two diesel, it can do a number on your field equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. That's how Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Seasonally Enhanced optimizes cold weather performance. Or stick with your fair weather friend, typical number two. Your choice. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Thanks to Miravis Neal Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Neal or visit the Miravis Neal webpage. Always read and follow label instructions.